Life just got a little better, thanks to Merryman Earns.
The following information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Always seek the advice of your qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Hello, today we have with us Dr. Robert Scott Bell. We're going to continue to our talking about the silver hydrosol, which is a very advanced silver. And I want to get into a little bit about the history of the silver hydrosol. Dr. Bell, I think Stephen Quinto was the originator of the silver hydrosol. It's a real interesting story. I think he was trying to disinfect his swimming pool. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it was a real inspiration that happened decades prior to actually developing the hydrosol technology when he was rehabilitating an old house like a chateau in France, a small castle. And it had a beautiful stone-faced swimming pool. And as they're rehabilitating it, he just had an aversion to utilizing chemical purifiers like chlorine. And
sure.
He worked and researched at the local university and found that they had already developed ionization technology that would allow for silver and copper through an electrolytic process to be released and basically turn the pool into a colloidal silver pool. And at that time, you didn't have to add any chlorine. You could swim in it and bathe in it, if you will. You didn't have to take a shower to wipe off nasty chemicals.
Right.
So when he was inspired to look into the silver colloids around the planet, he remembered that from many years earlier. And that inspired him to say, okay, there's technology here, but what can we do to make it better?
Right. And so what did he do? Is that where he... Then he started, because I know you've got probably the best. I know you use an electron microscope for your final analysis or for the purity, and you've got little pictures in the brochure here. All the other silver hydrosols look like rocks. And
there's a lot of different species, if you will, or forms of colloidal silver.
Uh-huh.
They're all blind to the eye. In other words, you can't see them with your eye.
Right.
So you have to really analyze it. And it's beyond a light microscope because of the particle sizes that you're looking to achieve. And
right.
What he realized is that he needed the technology of the electron microscope to be able to analyze the particles, what was actually in the colloid, right? And this was the distinction or differentiation between the hydrosol versus all other forms of colloidal silver. You had the nanoclusters down around a nanometer and sometimes smaller that would be the reservoir for the ions that are the horsepower, if you will, to efficiently utilize all the properties of silver that you want without large agglomerations or bound particles and debris that have little to no efficiency within the body and then have a difficulty for the body to be excreted, right?
Right, yeah, because they could almost be probably toxic. I know some of these people try to make their homemade silver, and I'm like, you got to be really careful. You've got to start with some really pure products. You can't just take an old coin or something like that and try to make your own homemade products, because there's other metallic salts and other impurities that could get in there that it could actually be toxic, maybe like lead or something like that. You want to be really careful with how you're manufacturing this. Now, under the electron microscope, the silver hydrosol that is made by the Nutrigenics, it looks like a cloud. It's so fine. And all the other ones, look like big rocks and clusters of rocks.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing how pure this product is. Can you tell us a little bit about, I know you use like a prescription grade high quality H2O. Can you tell us a little, without giving away trade secrets, but can you tell us a little bit about how this product is made?
Well, yeah, you have to have pharmaceutical grade purified water. Anything less than that, you're going to have debris within the water that can bind it and basically compromise the integrity of the silver. But you mentioned also other metal salts and things. This means you're going to have to take the silver to a 5.9 standard of purity, not 4, not 3. And so that's something that very few companies, and certainly if you're doing this at home to make it, you're not going to that degree of purity. So you're going to have base metals, other things in there that you don't want that contaminate it that could be harmful over time.
Right.
Now, the good news is even if you have the wrong form of silver in it, debris, it doesn't excrete, you're not going to kill yourself, but you risk discoloration of the skin.
The blue man.
The blue, yeah, arteria. But you can take safely the sovereign silver form every day for the rest of your life. You're not going to turn blue because the particles are so small, you don't need a lot of it, and it is easy for the body to bind in phase two conjugation pathways within the liver.
That's a liver detox phase two, right? And then,
right.
Is it arguria that you get when you turn blue?
Yeah, that's what it's called, arguria.
Arguria.
It's the eyes, it's arteriosus. But the reality is you can excrete pretty much about 90% within 48 to 72 hours is gone out of the body, and then
wow.
The remaining is out. So it's very easy to track. Now, if you have other forms of silver, they don't excrete as easily. You know, even modern medicine, which uses silver sulfadiazine as their industry standard, it's a gunky liquid paste, if you will, that is not nearly the efficiency of the silver hydrosol that you have.
Yeah, I was watching something on TV the other night, and they were showing, you know, what they do for burns and in the burn units and so forth, and they were actually taking, looked like a stick, probably, you know, something that would hold your tongue down or something like that, and mm-hmm. they were using that and kind of wiping it on the burn, and it was like a white paste. I'm just always amazed that how, you know, the conventional medicine with supposedly modern medicine sometimes goes back 40, they're using things like, you know, from 40, 50 years ago. And, you know, here's a product that, and we'll talk a little bit about the different forms that it comes in, but here's a product that it's super pure, super potent. I mean, we talked all about, you know, all the things that it did last time. I still don't understand why they don't move into the 21st century, why they're still back in ancient times. I don't, is it a matter of money or what's going on here? I don't understand why they don't use the best of the best.
Well, this is the problem with drug monopolies. You don't have an incentive to innovate. You have basically a cornering of the market for the use, for instance, in hospitals of silver, because this is a drug product approved by FDA.
Right.
So to utilize a dietary supplement form of silver would not be profitable, and so it's blocked from the marketplace because it's regulated in a different way.
Wow.
Efficiency within the peer-reviewed literature is pretty sound because we've seen animal models even utilizing on burn care of severe wounds where epithelial tissue has been absolutely destroyed, and the recovery is just stunning within a matter of 3 weeks or less.
Sure.
You see no evidence of the original injury, whereas the sulvadine, there is some improvement, but it's not near to the level of you see with the nanoparticle clusters like in a hydrosol.
Wow. Yeah, it's just amazing. So, you know, again, you could get a really advanced product from your local health food store like Mary Man Herbs, and then when you go to the hospital, you get this really crude product because the way the system is set up. And that's kind of sad. Now, there's been a lot of question about parts per million, which is kind of the amount that's in the water base, I guess the density of it. And there's been a lot of information that the higher the parts per million, the more effective the product. And I know that's a myth. I know that's false. Mm-hmm. I even remember reading almost 15 years ago from Dr. Stephen Holt, who did some research on this, that the parts per million, the higher parts per million, all you're doing maybe is throwing more silver in that you don't really need. Explain a little bit. There's two products. There's a 10 part per million and a 23 part per million. Why those? And, you know, what the 23 is, you know, we also sell that out at Mary Man Herbs, and it's a professional grade, extremely effective. And we've gotten some phenomenal results with it. But explain a little bit about why 23 was chosen and why the 10 was chosen and why the more parts per million really don't make a big difference.
Well, yeah, there's a law of diminishing returns. As you increase the part per million, you basically hit a level at point where the silver would precipitate out. And so you would lose the efficiency of that 360-degree viewpoint where you can interact efficiently
with
the nanoclusters. And the 23 was an ideal realm. It was about just 2.3 times more concentrated for the doctors, the health professionals that were dealing with more severe crises.
So it's kind of at the top of the bell curve. So you get the best results.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Correct. And again, if you have to throw or you attempt to throw more silver than that, you're going to have to trick the water. So you're going to have to combine it with salts and proteins and other stabilizers that take it one, two, three steps removed from biofunctionality or bioactivity. And then, of course, you've got the debris field again, if you've witnessed with the electron microscope.
Right.
So more is not better. More becomes toxic and less efficient. And, you know, the hydrosol technology allows for the use of very small quantities, safe quantities, microgram dosages of silver that you can utilize safely without concern and yet you have more efficiency than those sold at 100 parts per million, 500, even 1,000 part per million formulation.
Right, right. Yeah, and I see that, you know, it's kind of crazy. You've got these companies, well, we've got 500 parts per million, and it's more effective. Well, really what you're telling us is that it's not. You've got to get that bell curve. You've got to get that point where it's really bioavailable and can really go into solution. And that's the other thing. You know, again, the silver should not be clear is one of the big myths that you hear about. You know, it needs to be cloudy. Pure, highly, you know, refined, you know, super small nanoparticle actually should be clear. Isn't that correct?
Well, it has to do with light reflectivity and refractivity. What can you detect with the naked eye? If you have particles that are large or agglomerations and compounds, you're going to reflect light wavelengths that the eye can detect. It's going to look cloudy, debris, brownish, grayish, silvery looking. And they'll say, well, that's how it should look. But the reality is that the particles are that large, they're going to be very inefficient in your body, and your body will have a difficult time binding and excreting. So it's really, you want clarity, but even clarity is not enough because the naked eye can't detect the particles at the level we're talking about. So
right.
You might look at a form of colloidal silver that looks like water against the hydrosol that looks like water. Until you look at it under an electron microscope, you will not be able to see what we're seeing, what we're talking about that makes the hydrosol different from all other forms of colloidal silver.
And I think that's something that makes the company unique, is that they do use this electron microscope. Does anybody else use the electron microscopy?
Well, in terms of research and technology, yes. In terms of companies manufacturing colloidal silver for sale, I have not encountered one that actually uses electron microscopy in-house or even validates their speciation outside by a third-party lab.
Wow. Yeah, and this is, again, you know, this is why we're so proud at Merryman to carry the highest quality products. I know I did a lot of research looking around to find the best company. And then, of course, we've got individuals like you that, you know, validate and can explain everything to our customers. And this is why, you know, we're really proud at Merryman to be able to carry this product line and to give our customers the best of the best. And, you know, it's just something that we do. You know, we basically vet everything, we study everything, we make sure that the product is really good and that it's very effective. And I have just seen, and we talked a little bit about last time, all the different things that this product does. Now, I had another question. You know, we talked about how it was good, you know, for being antimicrobial, antiviral, antibacterial, antifungal. It supported the immune system and actually helped to regenerate tissue. I mean, just right there, it's just, you know, I still don't understand why conventional medicine doesn't jump on this. But like you said, the whole system's kind of geared towards, I guess, the money income and the pharmaceutical industry. But what about parasites? Does this, because I know it's effective for Lyme disease, which is a bacteria, but sometimes with Lyme, you get co-infections. And of course, I know with the oregano is extremely effective for parasites. Does this affect parasites that, you know, that we would be able to get, or is it one of these things where it really doesn't do anything to them?
Well, certain lower order parasites, yes, but there are some higher order parasites that are more complex in their organizational structure that have some level of resistance to the active state of silver. But the good news is those parasites rely upon bacteria for their food supply.
Oh.
So you actually are an indirect benefit there because you're eradicating their food supply, starving them out, even if you can't kill them directly with silver. However, you know, at the end of the year, hopefully the copper hydrosol will be available, and that will directly target these higher order parasites more efficiently. Where silver leaves off, the copper will take over.
Okay, yeah, we need to talk just a little bit about that. I had talked to Theo about that. We were hoping it would come out last fall, but evidently you're still probably trying to get everything FDA regulated, and I'm sure you're through all kinds of hoops.
The RFD is intense. They don't mess around at natural immunogenics. They don't put anything out that's less than perfect in terms of their ability to produce and maintain and stabilize. So it is going to come out. When it does, it will be ready, and it will be unlike any other copper ever before released onto the market.
Wow. And that's going to be effective for, is it going to do a lot of the things that the silver does? Obviously, copper is going to be good for what? Arthritic inflammation? Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. There is a crossover where silver and copper have similar properties, but where one leaves off, the other can kind of take over.
Uh-huh.
Copper has extraordinary antifungal properties as well. But you're right. It has impact on vascular integrity. It has impact on skeletal integrity and repair, right? We've talked about regeneration with silver. Copper also is instrumental in helping orchestrate the repair of connective tissue throughout the body, anywhere in the body. And, of course, blood integrity. Talk about iron. They think of iron, but iron is a cofactor with copper. It needs copper. We talk about anemia as well. So we're going to have a lot of wonderful benefits to the brain, nervous system, the bloodstream, the skeletal system, inflammation, as you know, and repair that is going to work perfectly as an adjunct with what we already do with silver.
So would we be using the copper separately as a separate product, or is there going to be combination products? How does that all work?
Well, there will likely be a separate product, but there may be some benefit. And that's part of the R&D as far as seeing how they behave together in terms of if we want to do a combination or not.
Okay, phenomenal. Now, the silver comes in a lot of different forms. I know there's a 2 fluid ounce vertical spray. There's a fine mist spray, which is the vertical spray is for the sinuses. It's got a nice little pump. And then the fine mist spray is good for just spraying larger areas. There's also a gel, which I really love. I use that, you know, for my eyes, for my sinuses. A lot of my customers will use it for acne or, you know, maybe a wound where you want it to kind of remain on there. And then there's the dropper, and then it goes from 4, 8, 16, 32, and I know we even sell it by the gallon. So it comes in a lot of different forms like that. The thing that I really like about it is that it can be used anywhere. I mean, you know, you can take it internally, you can use it externally, and, you know, again, when you buy this particular brand, which is, you know, very, very important, I think. But when you buy this particular brand, you're getting like the very best of the best. And of course, you know, you obviously you've got a lot of R&D. What are the things that you test for when you're making this? Is everything so pure when it comes in? I know you talked about 5-9. I know the silver coins are 4-9. When you buy up the purest pure silver eagle or a silver coin, it's usually 4 nines, and they are a lot of times 3, but now they've gone to 4, and it's supposed to be the purest. Now we're talking 5 nines. Where does the silver come from? Where does the water come from? What kind of processes do you use for? And we already talked about the electron microscopy.
The refinement, of course, silver and copper are both metals that come from the earth, and so they are mined and refined. And you have to put special orders in to get it to the point where you get from 3 nines to 4 nines to 5 nines, where they'll work at a natural immunogenics. The water is municipal, but through massive filtration and different technologies that allow for that pharmaceutical grade purified water status to be acknowledged. And, you know, you talk about USP 51. There's a lot of different levels and layers that they go to in terms of purity. And that's an important distinction here because, you know, you can get water from the ground and it's pure and clean, but it might not be pure and clean enough for the processes that we're talking about in order to release the silver or release the copper in this unique way. Even though the silver does exist in nanoparticle type states or nanocluster states in the natural world, it's just to concentrate that in a unique way so that you can unleash all of the properties of benefit.
So we're talking about an extremely pure product that's stabilized, that's super bioavailable, that's everything that we need. Now, I know that there's some specific things about the use of it to get the best benefit from the product. One of the things is to hold it under the tongue for 30 seconds. And I've also read, too, that it's mainly absorbed by the upper digestive tract, maybe into the intestines a little bit. But can you explain a little bit about that for us?
Absorption, fate, transport, all these things are important so you don't go in and utilize it improperly. Again, not a concern for danger, but efficiency. Why are you using it? Normal oral protocols ask for sublingual absorption into the lymphatic system and bloodstream primarily, and that's the most efficient means by which the body will utilize the silver for the benefit. Whereas if you are wanting to purposefully drive it further into the GI tract past the stomach, then that will either call on larger than teaspoon quantities significantly, or the combination of the silver with the aloe vera juice, which I've written about in my book, Unlock the Power to Heal, to drive for the purposes of downregulation of tissue inflammation of the epithelial lining of the gut, upregulation of its regeneration or eradication of dysbiotic microorganisms in yeast. So depending on how you want to use it will determine, you know, where you deliver it. Do you hold it in your mouth sublingually? Do you swallow it with aloe? Do you use it topically or locally? These are the things that are important to consider.
Right. And I've always kind of been told to maybe sing a little song or something. And it's kind of hard for children, I think, to hold that under their tongue, but it really doesn't have any taste to it. Maybe a little bit, some people have detected a little bit of a mineral taste or something, but I've never really done that. And I think just so people can understand what to do for a maintenance dose, basically once a day, you want to hold it under your tongue for about 30 seconds, and that would be a teaspoon. For immune building, you would do that 3 times a day. Long-term immune support would be 5. And then the short-term immune support, something, you know, really acute where maybe you're trying to get rid of a cold or something like that, would be 7 times a day. Now, I have had customers take a lot larger dosages and a lot more frequently, and they've gotten phenomenal results. So it's something that you can use more. Again, you probably should consult a qualified healthcare practitioner. A lot of times I've called your company for people that have something, you know, rare or unusual, and they've given me different protocols. Again, I know you can't prescribe or diagnose, but we can always educate people on, you know, the proper use of the product. Now, sometimes, because this product is so potent and so effective, you get what we can call... kind of what we call the Jarisch-Herxheimer effect or a detox effect due to the rapid dying off of these microorganisms. You know, basically they're degraded, they dump toxins into your body, and you get a little bit of discomfort. I know some of the things can include mild to moderate headaches, joint pain, sweating, nausea, maybe a little flu-like symptoms without the fever, feeling just kind of tired, maybe a little rash, a little skeletal pain and itching. But you know what? I have never had anybody ever have a complaint with the usage of this product. Those are, you know, I mean, I guess that's the worst case scenario, but I always try to educate my customers to start slow and low. Use a little bit, and then that way they don't get uncomfortable. You can always drink a lot more water. We have a lot of phenomenal things to help support the detox process. One of my favorites, a perfect food alkalinizer and detoxifier. It's a drink mix that helps to absorb intestinally a lot of things. But do you have any other ideas, just in case somebody would get uncomfortable, which is actually a good sign? You know, that means that the product's working. That means you were probably just full of horrible bacteria and maybe getting ready to die. But do you have any other ideas of, you know, just in case they would encounter that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the people who are environmentally sensitive and typically have methylation issues, the detox pathways congested.
The MTHFR people, yes.
Yeah. These are the people that we need to. It's not that we don't need to help them overcome microbial burdens and pathogens, but we got to do it safely to facilitate that movement on out of the body easy for them.
Yes, they can't detox. You know, once they get in line, and we have a phenomenal protocol for getting people that have MTHFR to get back to normal. You know, we can't claim a cure, but we've helped basically hundreds of people following a protocol that's been put together by our study group to really help people overcome this MTHFR issue and be able to detox. And it's a matter of, you know, sometimes just getting down to using the proper B vitamins.
Yeah, exactly. And there are ways to do that, homeopathic drainage remedy.
Yes.
I do reference this in the book as well, Unlock the Power to Heal, but the use of coffee enemas is another way to facilitate liver detox, and that also reduces the headaches and migraines very quickly, too.
Yes, and then some of our customers actually will put in maybe a little bit of a orange oil, lemon oil. Some of them have even used the silver hydrosol in with their coffee enema. Again, you've got to be really careful. You know, you don't want to be putting a lot of really potent things in there. But, you know, and people kind of laugh at that, but I have seen it in action. I know of a half a dozen customers that have used coffee enemas for their MTHFR, for their Lyme disease, and get phenomenal, almost rapid relief with that.
Yes.
But anyway, we've gone down a little bit of a rabbit hole here. I want to get back I mean, you know, there's so many different things that you can do. And that's one of the things at Mary Mann that we really like to help people with. But usually this Herxheimer, Jarisch, Jarisch Herxheimer detox process, or what we call liver detox, is usually very short in duration. And, you know, again, I've not really encountered anybody that's actually had any problems with the silver. Now, I was also reading here, too, that because of its antifungal properties, I was just thinking, we haven't mentioned it, but what about for like athlete's foot and different things like that?
Yeah, local topical application is wonderful, whether you're doing the liquid, you can soak anything in that, or the gel form topically. Another aspect of when you understand its properties, you want to deliver it to the area in need.
Yes.
Obviously, there's systemic benefit through oral consumption, but local application is appropriate when you're dealing with microbial explosions or yeast issues and things like that, fungal issues. So, yeah, local application, repetitive dosing, these are the things that hit it from external and internal mechanisms so that you complete the task of healing and facilitate the body's recovery.
And I know some people, too, will also just put some in their water for healthy water. I'm seeing here that's 2 tablespoons per gallon of water, you know, and again, sometimes you really want to be careful with your water, but, and I don't want to recommend this or anything like that, but if you think there's pathogens in your water and you have no other option, or you just, you know, want to maybe, and I've done that, I've sipped on water all day long. Sometimes I'll use the grapefruit seed or some other antimicrobial, but I always usually come back to the silver hydrosols. And, you know, it's great for pets, you know, because they, and even children, because they can't really taste it. And this is another thing that I was wondering about, too, is supposedly it's really good for helping with topical pain. So it reduces pain. How does that go into effect?
Well, the issue of the other properties of silver when you use it locally, downregulation of tissue inflammation, right? The reduction of fibrogenic cytokines.
Yes.
The other thing is it upregulates the regeneration. So
okay.
If you have neural pathways that are inflamed and damaged, to repair them is going to facilitate ease and reduction of pain, and that's a good thing. So, you know, think of it as a rapid recovery substance that really accelerates the process that your body is already engaged in, but makes it more efficient.
Okay, so it basically calms the skin irritation and promotes healing, and that's where you get this reduction of the topical pain. And I know it's kid-friendly because really it's sting-free. I've even used it in my eyes, and we talked about last time where basically that's the bacteria. If you do get a little bit of a burning or a sting, it's the potassium coming out of the cell. Unbalancing the pH in your eye, I guess, is where you would get a little discomfort. But this is just such a phenomenal product. I think we could go on for hours and hours. But, you know, is there any last thing that you want to add to, you know, what this silver hydrosol does?
Well, it's a difference maker in terms of bringing the power to heal back to you. Your body already knows what to do. Remember, the silver is not necessarily doing it for you, but it's facilitating normal metabolic processes to work more efficiently within the immune category. Now, does it reduce microbial burden, pathogen burden? Certainly, and that's only going to facilitate functional improvement as well. So there's so many things that it does. You're right. We can't cover it even in 2 segments, but we'll keep trying.
All right. Well, Dr. Bell, thank you so much. And I really appreciate all the information, and we'll be talking soon.